Could it handle one of the biggest jets in the sky at 60 tons over its normal landing weight? But most of all, he had to talk to the passengers, to the doctors, to his co-pilot, to the second crew he woke up from their nap, to his superiors back home in Dubai, to ATC at Helsinki. It's safe to say that in the 40 minutes that passed between the passenger's stroke and the landing in Helsinki, there was no more than a handful of seconds of silence in the cockpit. What was required of Ratwadi was that he communicate, and not just communicate in the sense of issuing commands, but communicate in the sense of encouraging and cajoling and calming and negotiating and sharing information in the clearest and most transparent manner possible. Here, by contrast, is a transcript from Avianca 052 as the plane is going in for its abortive first landing. The issue is the weather. The fog is so thick that Klotz and Caviatis cannot figure out where they are. Pay close attention, though, not to the content of their conversation, but to the form. In particular, note the length of the silences between utterances and the tone of Klotz's remarks. Caviatis. The runway. Where is it? I don't see it. I don't see it. They take up the landing gear. The captain tells Klotz to ask for another traffic pattern. 10 seconds pass. Caviatis, seemingly to himself, we don't have fuel. 17 seconds pass as the pilots give technical instructions to each other. Caviatis, I don't know what happened with the runway. I didn't see it. Klotz, I didn't see it. Air traffic control comes in and tells them to make a left turn. Caviatis, tell them we are in an emergency. Klotz, to air traffic control. That's right to 180 on the heading and, we'll try once again. We're running out of fuel. Imagine a scene in the cockpit. The plane is dangerously low on fuel. They have just blown their first shot at a landing. They have no idea how much longer the plane is capable of flying. The captain is desperate. Tell them we are in an emergency. And what does Klotz say? That's right to 180 on the heading and, we'll try once again. We're running out of fuel. To begin with, the phrase running out of fuel has no meaning in air traffic control terminology. All planes, as they approach their destination, are by definition running out of fuel. Did Klotz mean that 052 no longer had enough fuel to make it to another alternative airport? Did he mean they were beginning to get worried about their fuel? Next, consider the structure of the critical sentence. Klotz begins with a routine acknowledgement of the instructions from air traffic control and doesn't mention his concern about fuel until the second half of the sentence. It's as if he were to say, in a restaurant, yes, I'll have some more coffee, and, I'm choking on a chicken bone. How seriously would the waiter take him? The air traffic controller who Klotz was speaking with testified later that, I just took it as a passing comment. On stormy nights, air traffic controllers hear pilots talking about running out of fuel all the time. Even the "ah" that Klotz inserts between the two halves of his sentence serves to undercut the importance of what he's saying. Klotz spoke, according to another of the controllers who handled 052 that night, in a very nonchalant manner. There was no urgency in the voice. The term used by linguists to describe what Klotz was engaging in that moment, is mitigated speech, which refers to any attempt to modify or sugarcoat the meaning of what's being said. We mitigate when we're being polite, or when we're ashamed, or embarrassed, or when we're being deferential to authority. If you want your boss to do you a favor, you don't say, I'll need this by Monday. You mitigate. You say, don't bother if it's too much trouble, but if you have a chance to look at this over the weekend, that would be wonderful. In a situation like that, mitigation is entirely appropriate. In other situations, however, like a cockpit on a stormy night, it's a problem.